From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Debbie Elliott. In Baghdad today, gunmen shot dead a prominent Shiite politician and his wife. The official was a senior member of the Supreme Council for the Islamic Revolution in Iraq, the main party in the ruling coalition. And in Sadr City, a Shiite militia stronghold, U.S. and Iraqi forces searched for Iraqi hostages kidnapped from the Education Ministry this week. Troops also searched for five Western security guards taken hostage in southern Iraq. This week's brazen kidnappings and the continued sectarian killings have fueled the post-election debate in Washington over what to do in Iraq. In our coverage, we often turn to our reporters and analysts. Today, we asked for the perspectives of Iraqi Americans and Iraqis living here, voices we've heard from before on this program. They are Bilal Wahab, a Fulbright scholar from Kurdistan, Babylonia Marcus, a daughter of Iraqi immigrants, Imam Syed Mustafa Al-Kazwini of the Islamic Education Center in Orange County, California, and Yasser Shalal, a businessman who immigrated here in the 60s. He offered this personal view on the reports we hear from Iraq.
Well, the reason why 1.5 million people have left Iraq since the quote-unquote liberation is because of the kind of stories that you hear on a regular and daily basis of killings and torture, and I've had a family that was kidnapped and have had to pay a ransom to retrieve their loved ones, and it's gotten to the point where anybody with any means whatsoever is trying to find a way out to Damascus, to Jordan, and they're just barely surviving.
Bilal Wahab, your father has recently led a delegation of Kurdish clerics seeking dialogue with other Muslim leaders in Baghdad. What are you hearing from him? Is he hopeful?
He tries to be, as I guess everyone else does. My father is a cleric, and the idea of him heading a Kurdish clerical delegation and going to Baghdad to talk to both Shiite and Muslim religious leaders based on the idea that we both are Muslims and we both use the mosque altar to talk to masses of people. Unfortunately, Friday sermons and the role of the clerics in Iraq has not been as positive as one would wish, because religion in Iraq under Saddam Hussein was controlled by the government. Clerics would talk on Friday sermons according to an outline set by the Ministry of Religious Endowment. After the invasion, religion became free, and there was an extreme reaction. Unfortunately, many of the mosques are responsible for advocating anger, for advocating a sense of revenge. The cycle of revenge, of violence that's going on in Iraq is not easy and it's not small. And my father's mission was based on the transforming religion to a more positive role.
Babylonia, what are you hearing from your relatives there? Do they feel safe?
Well, in general, I think we've seen an escalation of violence that some argue is targeted to Christians and some argue is existing, and Christians happen to be caught in the middle. The Christian minority of Iraq represents sort of the indigenous original inhabitants, at least of the north, and they are caught in the middle of a sectarian war between the Shia and the Sunni. In the south, where we had a large community in Basra, what is called the Shia theocracy is sort of taking a turn for the extreme, and they have fled in large numbers from there to the north, to either Baghdad or to the area known as Kurdistan.
Imam Al-Kazwini, I'm hearing people in the studio here talking of a very divided country.
This is the reality of Iraq at this time, yes. There is mistrust growing among the Iraqis. They are very frustrated because of the inability of their own government to restore basic needs, to restore security. I am one of the people who used to go back and forth after the fall of Saddam Hussein. I went several times back to Iraq, but now I can't go because of the threats against my family. And my father was shot at when he was returning home back in June. So people are very frustrated. But I still have hope that if Iraqis are willing sincerely to come together to consider Iraq first, not themselves first, then still there is hope that we can restore dignity and real democracy to the Iraqi people.
You know, increasingly, the debate here in the United States is including voices that say this is the problem in Iraq now is a problem that has to be solved by Iraqis. U.S. troops cannot solve this problem. What do you think it will take to restore stability to Iraq? Bilal Wahab?
I think it was our first session here on All Things Considered that we discussed the role of the troops. And I remember I said that American troops should stay in order to stand between the Shias and the Sunnis should a civil war or a sectarian fight begin. Well, right now we have that war going on almost a year later. I think that American troops are there. They should do a better job. It's not our war. I mean, I like what Colin Powell said. You break it, you own it. Well, many Iraqis are happy that Saddam Hussein is gone, but let me say this to the American people and the American officials. Iraqis did not invite you to Iraq. You came because you want security here. And we appreciate the fact that you wanted freedom to our country. But freedom is not the outcome. Sectarianism, conflict is the outcome. Stop managing the conflict and think about solving the conflict.
Imam al-Qazwini, do you believe that this is a problem that has to be solved by Iraqis?
Absolutely, but of course with the help of the international community, because it is not solely an Iraqi problem. There are many other elements who partake in this problem. And the major problem we have in Iraq is that there is a good group of people who are disenchanted with this new situation in Iraq. It doesn't matter whether you change this prime minister, bring another one. For many decades, rather centuries, Iraq was governed by the minority. And the majority of the people were deprived, were persecuted. And therefore, there are a group of people in Iraq who are unhappy with the new situation, and they vowed to resist whatever they see. They resist the entire political process. If you see, look at, I'm not a defender of the Iraqi government, but if you compare today, the Iraqi government today, to any Arab government, you will see more democracy, more freedom, more respect for human rights within that government.
Yasser Shalal, are you hearing from Sunnis in Iraq that it might take something like a dictator to restore order?
I don't think anybody wants to see another dictator. I think everybody wants to have stability and security. And if it takes a strong man, as the sort of terminology goes, I don't care if you're Sunni or Shia, Kurdish or Arab, you want security. You want stability. And ultimately, the thought and the ideas that are being floated indicate that the heck with this ridiculous notion of democracy, if this is all it brings us is death and destruction on a daily basis, no thank you.
Bilal Wahab, your studies will end here next year. Will you be returning to Iraq? You have a family there with a young daughter, right?
That's correct. I can talk for myself, and I can also talk for many of my Fulbright friends. There is this internal struggle going on. You're a Fulbright. You're here, you learn something useful, you need to go back, you need to help the country. On the other side, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a human being. The security of my family matters. So I'm caught up between my ideals and my very basic human needs. And that struggle has been going on inside me and inside my Fulbright colleagues. I am Kurdish, I can go back to Kurdistan, but even Kurdistan is not as safe. In the long run, it's a tough situation, especially at the time that I'm supposed to write my thesis, my graduation paper, and do my final examinations.
Babylonia Marcus, the last time we spoke with you, you were questioning whether you would ever even be able to go to Iraq. How do you feel about that now?
Well, I think I'm in still sort of the same questions being asked. I think so long as the sectarian violence increases, there's no need for the kind of development work that I would be doing there. I'm in international development. And as long as there's no stability and security, it's a completely futile effort, unfortunately.
But you would like to go there to assist in redevelopment.
Yes. But what I'm sensing here in Washington, however, is starting to change. And there's like this growing bitterness towards Iraq as a quagmire, Iraqis as the people who can handle their own security. One that I think actually Bilal addressed head on by saying, we didn't invite you into Iraq. And I think I'm picking up on that amongst people in my field. And it affects my sense of identity because there's this frustration with, well, we aren't a country of insurgents and thieves and killers. We are a country that was extremely successful in its time and had probably the most potential, I would say, out of all the countries in the Middle East to become successful again. But not to seem as though we're victims entirely, but it's frustrating because what I've wanted to do, what I think Iraq has the potential to do, hasn't been fulfilled. And for those reasons, I think there's a growing bitterness towards Iraq in Washington.
Babylonia Marcus, Bilal Wahab, Yasser Shalal, and on the telephone, Imam Syed Mustafa Al-Kaswini. Thank you all for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thanks for having us, Debbie.